The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
It's morning teaching, and the Lord will be distilling upon us this morning, bit by bit. I want us to follow the thoughts the Lord will be raising with us. The Lord bless our hearts as we do so in Jesus' name. So we are considering lesson 107. Jesus, the Rabbi. Can we all echo that? Again, Jesus, the Rabbi. Hallelujah. You know, the word Rabbi means teacher or master. Jesus was not just a teacher, but he was a great teacher. He was the teacher of all ages and all civilization. He was the greatest scholar that ever walked the face of this earth because of the things he constored and the things he brought forth. Man have never known God. But Jesus was able to trap all of God, and he dispensed that knowledge to man. In the previous episode, we saw God's great investment of help to ensure that every man find grace to believe in Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. So the essence of God sending Jesus is to show him, to show himself to man. That's why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one will ever come to the Father except by me." Hallelujah. So we see that Jesus came in flesh as man. He learned the way natural man learn. And we can see that case in the book of Luke chapter 2. For us to establish the truth that it wasn't just anointing that raised Jesus. Jesus also go through the normal course of man. That's why he's called the man Jesus. He learned. Let's look at the book of Luke chapter 4 verse 22. Okay, before then, Luke chapter 2 verse 46. Luke 2 46. Can we all read together? "And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. 47. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answer." It means Jesus was an excellent student. He didn't just arrive at teaching. He learned right from the tender age. He learned. He read the prophets. He read Isaiah. He read Jeremiah. He read Moses. He read the law. He had a good grasp of the law and the prophets. So that's what made Jesus distinct. Meaning that we studying the footsteps of Jesus, we must be a good learner. You can see, he was sitting in the temple in the midst of doctors, but was hearing them. So learning entails hearing, then asking them questions. He was not even anticipating to teach them. But first, he heard them and he also questioned. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and at his answer. This shows to us that Jesus grew chronologically. He grew as a child. And during his childhood stage, he learned. Because of the assignment ahead of him to show man to God, to show God to man, God wants everyone to be saved. It is his will that everyone be saved and that those who are saved will make progress and migrate into knowledge. Knowledge of God. God is a body of knowledge that needs to be learned. So the essence of raising Jesus as a man, not just God now, as man, Jesus stay under the tutelage of God. He stay under the tutelage of the law and the prophets. I was well enlightened. So it means Jesus was not lacking in precepts and in line. For him to be accounted as great teacher, he take time to archive the knowledge. Because he knew he's going to be the savior of the world. And he's going to be savior of all time. His will for us, that is the will of God for us, is that we might be saved. And that salvation is knowledge. Salvation is what? Knowledge. Without knowledge, no man can be saved. So it means we should not despise the knowledge that the Lord is bringing to us. So Jesus archived the knowledge of God and he dispensed it in his time. So this knowledge is called salvation. And then he also finds grace to rely on, trust in, and lived by that knowledge. We must put our hope and lives on the provision of God through his son. So God has raised his son through his knowledge. And every man that will be saved must come through the knowledge of the son. We must trust. And we don't arrive at trust one day. We keep believing. We start with believing. That's why for a man to be born again, he needs to believe in Jesus and confess with his mouth. So we move on that believing and keep our trust on Jesus. Put our hope in him for all the provision God have made available through him, which is why he has borne various testaments. Testament literally is covenant or agreement between God and man. Hallelujah. You know, he told Abraham walk before me and be perfect. And at many points, he made covenant with Abraham. We saw the testimony of the outstanding miracle that God wrought by Jesus' hand. Not just that the miracle were wrought, but also how they were wrought. That is the manner of the miracle. When we look through the scripture, the miracle that Jesus performed were distinct. And there's no single miracle he did the same way. Meaning he was under instruction. And you find out that what helped Jesus to function in that is what he has grew up to become. It's not that he was seeking power or going into abstinence, fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. We knew he did that after his baptism to prepare for his earthly ministry. But it's not because he's seeking power. If is that Jesus was seeking power, immediately Satan said, command this stone to become bread. He will test that power. But he was growing, accumulating knowledge, knowledge of God, which is called truth. So that knowledge is what every other thing he did rested on. So the basis of Jesus performing miracle, doing signs and wonder was a knowledge that has been formed in him. Today, we young people want to do many things and we go into many abstinence, many discipline, not prioritizing growth. Such is a very slippery ground. You can be overtaken by the enemy. Hallelujah. So, because the essence of this teaching is to see how Jesus grew in the knowledge of God, how he grew in the knowledge of God, how he performed miracle, whatever things he did, how he did it. And so, because he is the author and finisher of our faith, so we are meant to learn him as a man. That's the emphasis. Jesus was a man. And he did all that he did as a man, like you and I. So all what he did it in the day of his flesh. Hallelujah. So, can we look at the book of Luke chapter 4 verse 22? Let's see something there. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? I like that. They can link him to an earthly parent. He is a man. But all that heard him bore him witness at what? At his gracious words. The way Jesus put forth his word. The way he brought forth understanding. The way he brought forth reasoning. From scripture, from events around his environment, you can see when you go in depth into the gospel, you will see Jesus taught in parables using agriculture, events that happen around his days. So it takes time to develop himself. It takes time to be raised. So when we say gracious word there, it is the product of what Jesus became. We can't be gracious in words if we have not learned. I remember one time, Pastor Alfred said, there's nothing we cannot learn, even how to sleep. Hallelujah. Even how to eat. So if Jesus learned as a man, there's much demand on us to learn. The Bible reading we are doing this season is also a discipline. And I believe we are doing it well. Because no man will come into the knowledge of God without learning. God is content. That's why scripture say, and the glory of the knowledge of God shall fill the earth as what? Water cover the sea. Do you know the volume of water in the sea? That's the amount of God your soul should trap. And your soul and my soul have that capacity. God is knowledge. Hallelujah. So such manner of miracle were never seen, and God was on Jesus Christ in that manner, so that our eyes and those of everyone who ever lived on the face of the earth will not be able to look away from this wonderful man. Let's look at the book of Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Let's take note of that. God was with him. Meaning, God, the knowledge of God, reside in Jesus. It was not just anointing alone. It was not just using the power of the Holy Ghost alone. But God was with him. He has the knowledge of God. So everything Jesus did, every outstanding miracle that Jesus did, he did it by the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. Let's look at Luke chapter 5 verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the law was present to heal them. Hallelujah. You can see the progression. He was teaching. He was a renowned teacher of his day to gather all kind of men around him, the Pharisees, doctors of the law. And scripture say every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, scholars there, they came just to come and hear Jesus out. So it was after he taught, then the power of God was present to heal them. So healing was not the first thing he did. He taught. Because many believers today are confused, moving from pillar to post, wanting God to attend to their body diseases. But we are meant to see in Believers' Convention that the major sickness of man is sickness in the soul. Once the infirmity of the soul is cured, then it will eventually have effect in the body. So our mindset of seeking God is to know Him first. Wanting to hear from Jesus, because that is the lasting solution. You can be cured, and after a few months or years, the sickness comes back again. So that's why in a setting where they keep casting out evil spirits, you will see that the set of people they casted evil spirit out of maybe last month will be the set of people coming this month. What has happened? So it is the knowledge of God that can knock out the infirmity of man. When you sit under teaching, when you are learning Christ, Christ will take out the root or the cause of that problem, because it's in the soul. The major problem of man is sin. That's why anytime Jesus healed, he will tell the person, go and sin no more. So that is the major problem of man, sin. And what God wants to dealt with by bringing forth his son is what? Is healing of the soul. Hallelujah. Jesus healed Jairus' daughter. The Bible recorded that the people were astonished by great astonishment, because they have not seen that kind before. You know, Israel was a people that God raised, and they have seen so many signs and wonders. God raised Moses as an epic among them. There's no signs and wonder you are talking about that Moses didn't do. And to the point that even God told them, any magician, necromancer, any wishes or wish that should not what be among them. They should stone such to death. Meaning, any miracle done in Israel is purely by God. And they have been enjoying that from generation to generation, to the point that there is a pool that at a particular time of the day, angel will descend from heaven, come into that pool, and immediately lifted. The first person that enter into that pool with whatever infirmity or sickness will be whole. So that's how Israel have witnessed, when we say miracle. So what is now different about our Lord Jesus Christ that these people were astonished of? It's not the miracle he did, but how he did it. Hallelujah. Majorly, he raised up the daughter of what? Jairus. Which is a notable miracle, not just any miracle. It points out to something strategic in the spirit. How man can be reclaimed from death to life. So they were very astonished. Mark chapter 7, verse 33 to 35. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his finger into his ears. And he spit and touched his tongue. Looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephrata, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plainly. This man is deaf and dumb. So, the manner in which Jesus wrought miracle, apart from the miracle and the thing that still happened today by his name, miracle has happened during the days of Jesus. There's no miracle we are talking about today that has not happened, much more in the day of Jesus. And God used Jesus to do those miracles, to perform those signs for Israel to believe. And not for Israel alone, it was archived for all men in all ages to see this outstanding miracle, for them to be able to believe. Because in every nations of the earth, be astrologers, be magicians, be witches and wizards, they can't perform this notable miracle. So he's pointing to humanity that there's something about this man. All the miracle Jesus did was outstanding. So this miracle were validly written by the hands of many witnesses. And these witnesses are the disciples, people that were around during his time. Even history archived these miracles. It archived it. To stand as witness for man, others who wrote about it were established that this event happened so that we might believe and be saved, and so that our faith will solidly trust in Jesus. So if you cannot believe in all the notable miracles written in the scripture, you cannot access spiritual things. You know, there's a way we can have the mind that we don't need miracle. We are learning life, eternal life. But if you don't have faith, our faith training starts from all these miracles that Jesus did. If you can't believe it, you can never believe in anything spiritual. Because they are spiritual, as it were. It's not lesser spiritual. So you can't put a dividing line. So you are going through one sickness, one disease, one ailment, and you told yourself, let me keep learning life. You are not addressing it. You are not praying about it. You are not declaring and confessing. You will see that it will remain. So what we are saying, I say, is that believing in miracle that Jesus did is a training. It's faith training. Many of us, we want to escape that, and it's because we are even lazy in the spirit. We are not diligent enough. We don't have enough faith. Because there's a way we can come into learning of doctrine, learning of eternal life message, and we want to use that escapist mentality to downgrade miracle. We must not be caught in that web. Because it's your faith training. If you can believe God in that, you will be able to believe God in spiritual thing. So, our obedience is also anchored on this. Jesus said, pray until your joy is full. So you address a situation and that situation seems not to be going. Tomorrow you still address it. Next tomorrow you still address it. That's not vain repetition. No. But it's an exercise of faith. So we must unleash our faith, believing in the miracle that Jesus has wrought, and that today Jesus is still performing miracle. And we should not just believe that the era of Jesus doing miracle, performing miracle has gone. Because there's some mindset, such mindset that that era is gone. Like some believe that the day of Holy Ghost has gone with the apostles. That's a lie. There are some sects like that that preach that. That the era of the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues is gone with the apostles. So whatever Jesus did in time past, he's still doing now. The scripture says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. One thing Israel saw was the ministry of Moses. Let's look at the book of Deuteronomy. What is the ministry of Moses? Deuteronomy 32, 1. Give here, O ye heavens, and I will speak. Hear, O heads, the words of my mouth, and my doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, and as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. Hallelujah. The primary essence of the ministry of Moses was that he was able to raise a people or a house to God through the teaching and doctrine of God. They never had another like Moses. So Moses was able to establish Israel in doctrine, in teaching, in all the speakings of God, to the extent that Hebrew addressed Moses, addressed children of Israel as the house of Moses. They are Moses' building. So building there is not just forward, but people being raised unto God. So that's one outstanding about Moses. Apart from the miracle he performed in Egypt, the signs and wonder he shows in Egypt, if we look at the account of Moses leading the children of Israel, it was rare to see any other miracle he did. But God used him to stay Israel and establish them in doctrine, in raising them as a house of faith, because they need to generate enough faith so that when Moses left, they can continue in that legacy. And that's why you see in the book of Deuteronomy, he was charging them, keep charging them, that they should not forget all the doctrine, all the teaching he has expounded. Because there is a way hearts forget. It is the natural default of man to forget. Man can forget his experiences, even in God. You see how God delivered the Israelites through the mighty heart. Immediately they crossed the Red Sea, go into the wilderness, not quite long, they start complaining. It means that miracle is not enough to substantiate their soul. It's not enough. It's not enough reality. So that's why most times, what God does for us is to, what God does for us is to make us to see beyond whatever miracle or signs and wonder or intervention he brought into our life. That's the major blessing that stays with us. So if God heal you, to what extent, to what essence, to what effect? Many people came to God as believer through that inroad of intervention, and they don't last. Once 2-3 problems is not solved, they go back. So our faith cannot be established well on interventions. Though God will intervene, but we must see the God that is behind the intervention. We must see beyond what God does to know who God is. Hallelujah. So, what we are saying next is that our hearts must be well established in doctrine. We must be raised in teaching. The gospel of Christ must be well laid, and we must receive it. So when Jesus came, he came in a manner that was beyond what they have ever seen. He came with a teaching grace that was never recorded, even in the law. Hallelujah. I believe Lord is saying we should commit our heart more to these things. Because these are the things meant for our salvation. That everything that has been documented and written of Christ is for our learning, so that we can come into the fullness of God. Hallelujah. You know, it's possible for a believer not to access all the resources that is in Christ. You may be a believer, and somewhere you may be suffering somewhere due to lack of knowledge or understanding. For you to know that you have rights through our Lord Jesus Christ to ask, it's a great empowerment in the spirit. And we must use it. If you don't use it, it will be there and you will be suffering. Hallelujah. So heaven needs to open our eyes the more. Hallelujah. Now, as pertaining to our Lord Jesus Christ, let's look at the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 27. Inching on the fact that he came with a teaching grace that was never recorded. He was a great teacher than Moses. Matthew, chapter 5, verse 27. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, is referencing the law, that thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. This aspect, the children of Israel have never seen it that way. I don't know how many centuries they have been reading the law. The law of Moses. So it means that they have not seen into the spirit of that law. But Jesus is the Spirit. That's why I said he came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And you find out that Israelites were not able to fulfill that law. They keep breaking it. So when we talk about our Lord Jesus Christ, he is a grace teacher. It means he came with power to do. When you are taught by Jesus, you receive power to do. So that's what grace connotes. Grace is not unmerited favor to just behave anyhow. Grace is an empowerment to do. And our Lord Jesus Christ constole that. He teaches with grace. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. And when Jesus went about Galilee teaching in their synagogue and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. That's very clear. He went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogue and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Because that's what can establish man. Any other thing cannot establish man. You will receive your healing. You will be cured from your sicknesses and diseases. You will go away. But such man will remain in his sin if he's not open to the teaching of grace. So we should understand why we are exposed to grace teaching is to empower us to do, to change us, to transform us. So grace teaching is not once saved, forever saved. Grace teaching is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the one that constole that gospel. And it is the gospel that can save your soul and my soul to the uttermost. So primarily, Jesus Christ was known to be a teacher. His fame went abroad, not only because of the miracle, but because of his teaching. You know, it got to a point that the Greek came to look for him. In the book of John, chapter 12, verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired, saying, "Sir, we will see Jesus." Meaning, by all means, we want to see this man. They have been hearing about his fame. His fame has spread abroad. Hallelujah. What we are saying in essence is that Jesus' teaching is by grace. And that teaching spread abroad to the point it gets to notable places. We know of Greek, that the Greek were epitome of wisdom in those days. Even up to today, history will tell us that the Western civilization is like grandchildren of Greek. All philosophers that we come across in education, Plato, Aristotle, all of them, they are Greek philosophers. So you can't bamboozle the Greek. So for them to come and search out Jesus, there's something they heard that they have never heard before in history. There's a wisdom that jolted to them. So he came, this particular person came, saying, "Sir, we will see Jesus." To find out and to search out. But you see the next thing that happened there, 23. So immediately Jesus knew that the time is at hand. Because if it's left for them, they will take him and make him, or how will I say it now? They will coronate him. Yes. Because he's a great scholar. A scholar that they have never heard about. But here, it makes us to see that Jesus has attained into a very... He has come into fullness of grace. Now he can go to the cross. So he began to speak of his death here. Knew fully well that the essence of coming is not just to open man to earthly wisdom or knowledge or wisdom under the sun. Man must have inroad into the eternal God. Man must know God. And the way that can happen is when he died and opened that path. So he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground." He didn't even answer the reason they came. And that's the wisdom. You see the way Jesus answers situation or problem brought to him. He solved it by wisdom. You are expecting him to go this way, he will go this way. That's judgment. That's discernment. Because anytime Jesus wants to answer a question, he answers man to the depth of his soul. He's always targeting the root of all problem. So the problem of man is not superficial. It's not something at the surface. So, and he did that by grace. And that grace, he grew into it. It wasn't one day of fear. So in verse 25, "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life." Meaning, what matter is man to know God, to come into the knowledge of God which he brought. Because there's another life that man has, which is his pursuit on earth. The wisdom of the age. An earthly wisdom. But the essence, though he knew about his fame, about him being known to the neighboring country and all of that, but he wasn't dissuaded by that. He sets his eyes on the goal. So most times, for those who operate the gift of the Spirit, and as believers, because we should not underrate ourselves, this teaching is also to stabilize us. God can give a gift to you, but your eyes must not be on the gift. Your eyes must be on the gospel to establish souls. So after you have healed them, you have cured their sickness, are they established in the faith? And gift of healing, miracles, signs and wonders cannot be your ministry. In fact, those gifts are meant to be in church. They are called help ministry. It's not to craft a ministry specially for it. So that's the undoing of our generation today. We see this one is minister this, minister that. Just ordinary singer. Even it's common now. Minister so-so-so, minister so-so-so. What are you ministering that you can't do in church? Church is where your soul is to be saved, to be under watch. So there's no ministry outside church. Church is where ministry finds expression. So whatever gift we have, we should not run after fame, but we should run for the salvation of our soul. Because anointing can grant you. If care is not taken, gifts can get you stuck. Hallelujah. God demonstrated an amazing grace to bring thoughts, words, and reasoning that was beyond what any prophet had ever demonstrated on the earth. And until today, teachings are still wonders. Until today, Jesus' teachings are what? They are still wonders. So when you look at the gospel, the four gospel, the gospel of the gospel of Luke, Matthew, John, you find out that Daddy said everything Jesus taught there, they are everlasting principle. It's not something you will. Though when you look at it, it looks so simple. If a man slap you on the right cheek, turn the left. But you can't do that without frame or building for it. You must have learned and exercised yourself over time. So, why we said that is that Jesus' teaching are wonders. There's a realm those teaching came from. So, while we are under those teaching, is to connect to that realm as well for grace to be imparted. Hallelujah. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name, and our heart will be established in this season, even in the teaching of Christ. Can we begin to pray this morning? Can we appreciate our Father? Let's give thanks to Him. Let's appreciate Him. We are praying this season. The Lord will enlighten our eyes in the name of Jesus. Our heart will be established in the mighty name of Jesus.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.